Just before we start, I just want to say that one of the things that we're beginning to learn when we go to Kenya is that although we might have some notes and some other bits and pieces here, is that nothing ever quite works out as you think it's going to be. So we are going to be led by the Spirit this morning in what we say. We have a few things lined up, but I'm sure God will change direction, which is what we found when we were out there. So there was no point in planning too much because it all changed. But anyway, the first point we're going to start at is with Jackie. So I'll let you listen to her for a second.
So I think for John and I, the first thing really was to be to officially stand up here and give a huge thank you,
Absolutely. Wasn't it,
for all the financial support that you guys gave us before, or us and Potter's Heart, before we left for Kenya, wasn't it? And
very much so.
Also the amazing call when there was a call for fundraising for the toilet in Dagara.
If we can use those words.
If you can. I'll show you one in a minute. If we can loosely sort of say that. But really just to say a huge, huge thank you, guys, for your support. And we know that there were so many of you praying for us as well while we were away, and we really felt that. We had some quite challenging issues and challenging times, but they were disappeared really from the amazing things that God was doing out there, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
So, big thank you. I wanted to just sort of say that for those of you guys that don't know much about Potter's Heart, Potter's Heart is a Christian charity. And we aim to go out to Kenya twice a year. Kenya at the moment, yes. And we are linked up with two pastors out there called Paul and Jonah. And Paul and Jonah go and do the groundwork for us and find villages and communities that would like us to go there to teach and train. And what we end up doing is that we have usually their church building, which is usually a mud floor with wriggly tin sides and a roof. And we have, yes, this is Dagara Church. So that's quite posh, actually, isn't it? And quite level, yes. And the community gathers between 15 and 20 what they would call influencers. So we go out there to train the influencers. And the idea is that the influencers receive the training and the education. They then go back to their communities and then they pass on what they've learned. So it's a way for Potter's Heart to reach the maximum amount of people. And those influencers can also carry on working and teaching and training, can't they, while we're not there. So the teaching and training really is quite basic, isn't it?
It's very basic. Very, very basic.
And we never assume to know what they need teaching and training. So we all have our thoughts about what they probably need. And 9 times out of 10, it's the same things, isn't it? So the first step we would do when we go to a community is ask them, what are the things that are affecting your lives the most now that if you could have some teaching and training in would positively help your lives? And everybody within that 15 to 20 has a chance to give their input. If we have a huge long list, then they all get to vote, and the ones with the highest votes is what we do. We will give each community at least 5 to 6 visits. So that means that we would be connected with them for 2 to 3 years. So twice a year, so 2 to 3 years. So by the time you've finished your 5 to 6 visits, the hardest part is to then say goodbye, isn't it, and move. So anyway, Dagara, this is Dagara. This is their church. Dagara is what they call a displaced community.
Am I standing in the way for anyone, by the way?
Which basically means that there was some tribal fighting where they lived before, So the government decided that the solution to that would be to remove one section of those that community and put them in basically like a refugee camp, and until they could find them somewhere else to live. So the people of Degara basically spent 5 years in this refugee camp. They could come and go as they pleased. If they wanted to leave, they could leave, which a lot of them did. So Degara lost a lot of its people that had knowledge or influence, didn't they? So then eventually the Kenyan government decided that this is where they were going to put them. Degara is 5 miles from the nearest tarmac road. So we turned off the tarmac road and basically did a lot of this up in the 4x4.
Which was great fun this year because there's a lot of rain out there. A lot of rain.
5 miles. So if...
You'd have loved it, Lizzie. You really would.
If anybody from Degara wants anything from town, they have to first walk 5 miles to the tarmac road. Degara doesn't have a borehole. It has water, as you see on the television, that comes up in like a pond. It's shared with animals. It's dirty. It's not clean. It's one of the issues that we want to talk about. And Degara is also the place that we asked for some fundraising for the toilet block, because Degara is predominantly sand. So one of the things I wanted to reiterate is that we weren't asking for money because they couldn't be bothered to dig a long drop, is what they call them, themselves, because most of the other communities, they'll do that. But in Degara, they can't, because it's so sandy that it all needs to be professionally done. It needs to be shored up and done in a different manner. If you don't build long drops deep enough, they attract flies, you get the smell, it becomes unhygienic. If you dig them deep enough, they last years and years because they kind of self break down and everything. At Degara, it was starting to creep up.
It's not a long drop anymore. No. It's quite a short drop.
It was a very, very short drop. And you could see everything. And smell everything. It wasn't good. And one of the reasons that it needs to be professionally done, like I say, is it will collapse. And you do not want to be in a long drop when it collapses. I mean, at best, you get a bit mucky. At worst, it could kill you. You know, we're in the process at the moment of getting some quotes to get it professionally made. I still pity the guy who has to actually be down a 30-foot, because wasn't it 30-foot that they would have to go down, and he's got to shore it and make it safe as he's going down.
It may be that we have to even build up, because we can't go down as far because of the water table. You can only go down as far as the water table, isn't it?
Yeah, so you might have to go up steps to build it up to get the long drop. But anyway, so there we go. That's their existing one.
You remember it, Tobes?
Where
has
is
he gone
it?
Out?
Oh, he's gone out.
Oh, no.
Lizzie will remember it, won't you, Lizzie?
Yeah. I feel quite proud to say that I did not use it once.
She shouldn't be proud at all. I'm quite proud to say I used every single one. So.
Well, I didn't use it once. Yeah, if you go back. So Degara was, last year when we went, it was quite an interesting community, and we met with a bit of hostility from Pastor Samuel, didn't we? Who
did
a talk one day about, we're all Christians here and we're good people and, you know, all this, and we don't, you know, basically wagging his finger. But by the end of the teaching last time, he'd come round somewhat, hadn't he?
Totally.
As we said, that it's quite naive to think that Christians and non-Christians alike aren't affected by the same issues. You'll always get the same things being asked to be taught on. Family planning, sexually transmitted diseases, mental health, crops. What are some of the others? Health, hygiene. I mean, one of the hardest things is when they ask you to talk about cancer. How do I know if I've got, you know, whatever cancer? And then the next question is always, and how can I prevent it? How can I, what do I do about it? And that was quite hard, but actually for them it was quite a relief to hear that, like, this sounds awful, but that we get the same things here. That cancer is not just a third world country issue because they don't eat properly and they live a poor life. So you'll always get the biggies will always come up. Like I say, last year, Dagara, we thought we were going to go back. We hadn't been there for a year because of Lyndon, the other leader of Potter's Heart. She had a tooth and sinus issue and wasn't allowed to fly. So we were thinking, oh, crumbs, what's going to happen? We're going to go back there. It's been a year. It's, you know, probably will have forgotten everything, but it was amazing.
It was amazing. We didn't know what we were going to walk into, because Dagara is, as Jackie said, a displaced community, but it's made up of lots of different tribes. So although the guys that come in have effectively all come in together, we are talking about people who are effectively, like around here, would have come from different towns or different places. They do not live together necessarily, and they do not get on.
No.
Either, and that was the backdrop that we were going back to after being there last year.
One of our challenges last year was to ask them to invite other communities, especially communities that there was a bit of feuding going on with, because as you can imagine, it would be a bit like on your housing estate, the government suddenly saying, right, we're going to drop this community of people here, and you just lump it. So the poor community gets dumped there, but the people that are already there are feeling quite a lot of animosity towards them anyway, because they don't want them there, and the people that have been dumped there don't want to be there. So there was quite a lot of friction there. So we had encouraged that they ask people from different communities to come along in a bid to sort of reconciliation, wasn't it? And reconciliation, yeah. And forgiveness was one of the topics that we spoke about. So when we go back to a community, we say to them, well, you know, what's been going on since we've you know, not been here? How have you used the teaching? Well, you know, have you used the teaching? What's gone on? And in Dagara, we were sort of waiting for the, well, you know, you haven't been here for a year, and, well, you know. But all these people started to stand up and talk about how they'd taken the teaching out into their communities. There was one who was doing, one lady called Alice. Alice is a quiet, gentle spirit that has an authority over her and respect from all the communities, doesn't she? Alice lives separate from her husband because her husband lives miles and miles and miles away because he chooses to go and look after his sick mother and his disabled sister. Alice had been out there using the teaching, especially with family planning, encouraging, hadn't she? Sexually transmitted diseases. She'd been talking about relationships. She was just a powerhouse. Another lady called Esther, who's absolutely the opposite from Alice. She's loud, she's brash, she's in your face. She'd been out there and made it her mission to talk to the youth, to encourage the youth. Have an extremely difficult time out there with boredom. They get into drugs and hooch, you know, sort of illegal alcohol, don't they? She'd made it her job to talk to them, to evangelise to them, to teach them what she'd learnt. Another guy called Daniel, he'd also gone out and he was talking to the men about family planning, because you all the time you're dealing with kingdom culture and Kenya culture, and often
a bit of worldly culture.
And it's really trying to teach kingdom culture, and that Kenya culture is not always built on truth. It's built on superstition and lies a lot of the time. So for us, it was this moment of absolute pure joy, wasn't it?
Yeah, we didn't know what to expect, and if we'd have come home after being there 20 minutes, it would have been worthwhile going.
Absolutely.
So it was amazing, absolutely amazing.
So if you want to do the next one.
That's good, you can move on now. There's only 33 of these.
Yeah, this is Pastor Samuel. This
speed
is Pastor
up, don't
Samuel
worry.
That last time wagged his finger at us, towards us, about how they were good people. And we'd said to them, we don't deny that. Anyway, Pastor Samuel this time was like a little sponge, wasn't he? He was fully in on all the teaching. And at the end of it, just before we left and we had a time of praise and worship, Pastor Samuel sang a song over us as team.
And danced over us.
And danced over
and
us,
And it was remarked
yes.
that he was the first pastor who'd ever danced and sung over
and
us
sung
wearing
over
Wellington
us.
Boots.
So they will have... He has his motorbike there that he'll use as what they call a Buddha Buddha, which is basically a taxi. And you'll see people riding around on those with three or four people on that size of motorbike. And they pay them a certain amount of money to take them to the tarmac road or take them to town or whatever. And his church will have had a whip round for him to buy the motorbike for him so that he can... Because he's not just that church. There are about four other churches that he goes around to. So Pastor Samuel, again, for us, was a pure joy, wasn't it?
Yeah, these guys were totally on fire this time. From us going back there thinking, what are we going to expect? They'd taken everything on board. They wanted more. They were hungry for more. They'd brought more people along. We got people from different communities all around. We got about a dozen different churches that they all represented. And, they'd just all come together. And the whole teaching and stuff that we did on... reconciliation and forgiveness and other stuff, you could really see it having an effect. So
this is them in their break time, and for us it might seem like nothing much, but for these people to sit in a community like that and chat and talk afterwards is huge.
The other building was the kitchen.
That's
by the way.
Kitchen, yeah. So here we are in our break time, and then you get to go out and talk, and you talk about, you know, how many children have you got and what do you do, where do you live, and a lot of chatting and talking, wasn't it? That's our 4x4 bus, which we were so thankful for this time because it rained every single day. Yeah. And I mean, rain. And we were praying, and I know there were people here praying for us that not only would we be able to get into the communities, but that we'd also be able to get out. For me, that was the biggest.
Because she wanted the toilet when she got back to the hotel.
So, yeah, thank goodness for our 4x4. Okay. There you go. Yep, it's a lot of... Aha, this is our bus.
That was me.
So, as you can imagine, going down dirt tracks. We got a little bit muddy and it got a little bit skiddy, and John wrote in the back, Potter's Heart in action, with a big smiley face everywhere we went, wasn't it?
They are still amazing out there with all the dirt and the rain and everything, though. They, you know, they all wear wellies and other stuff, but they're just immaculately dressed, these guys. Just turn up and the whites are as white. It's just amazing.
So this is Dagara. We always started each day with praise and worship and a little 10-15 minute talk sermon, didn't we?
Which, if you were lucky, you got told about the night before.
Yeah. And everywhere we went, the worship is different. In all the communities that you go to, their mode of worship is different. Dagara was quite melodious. Key and Joy, the next place, was screechy and loud.
You'd love it on PA, you really would.
And they have Dagara don't have any musical instruments apart from those drums. And then you usually find that there's a lady that will say the line, sing the first line, and then they repeat it and they just bandy it backwards and forwards like that. And you just feel that it's of the spirit, because it doesn't just sort of kind of like fade out. It all ends at a
Yeah, and I'm sure Jackie will talk about this later, but what happens is because there's a group of people in there, they're not all from the same place, everybody has to bring a song from their region. Or if you go there for a Sunday service, which Jackie will talk about later, every age group, every person, every visitor has to come and say something. So if you want a long service, go to Kenya.
So this is during the teaching. They're avid note takers. I don't know what we're teaching there, but
we're also avid note takers. You might see in some of them, and you're sure some of you have seen some of my drawings as well, which got posted on social media. But all those get left behind, and I actually spend a lot of time translating those things. When Jackie spoke earlier on about the girls and guys here, they translate that all into their own language. They use Swahili. They also have Kikuyu and others. So obviously I have trouble with English, let alone those. But so they spend quite a lot of time copying everything that we've done, because obviously they don't get the advantage of anything being recorded, and then they just hand it out, spread it out.
Yeah, there's some more teaching. I did some teaching, I won't say it's amazing, but it was very effective teaching on how to make reusable sanitary towels, which while you're with the ladies and showing them how to do it, it means that you can also cover subjects like puberty, you know, menstrual cycle patterns, what's healthy, what's not healthy, when to be concerned, cycles, menopause, the whole kit and caboodle. And that went down really well, because what happened was that the men went outside and had their time, and the women were inside learning how to hand sew them. And it was really at those times were where they knew that there was no question that was too embarrassing, too difficult, too off limits, and we got some doozy questions, didn't we?
We did.
Yeah, you don't need to blush much when you... Anyway, so this, I want to tell you about this lady here, because this was one of the highlights of the whole trip. Like I said, we had encouraged Dagara to invite people from the different communities, especially ones that they were maybe a bit fighting with and there was a bit of animosity. And on the first day, this old lady and this beautiful young girl here with another man turned up from one of these communities, and I said over the 3 days that she should learn how to play poker, because you just could not tell whether she was happy, sad, angry, you know, indifferent. That was her face like the whole time. But we knew that if she didn't like what she was hearing, and she got offended or disagreed with it, and that if she got up and left, that a large number of people would get up and leave with her, because she was held in very high regard. The elderly out there are held in very high regard anyway. She's called a Shosho, which is a grandmother. Quite often the ladies don't get called by their names.
They never get called by their names. They're either... we're going to be a few days, right? We're going. They are known by their children's names, and we might have told a few of you this. But depending on when you know them, because obviously they have a lot of kids, they will be known by a number of their children's names. That doesn't necessarily make sense to you. So if you knew them when they had their first child, and their first child was Rebecca, that would be Rebecca's mum. If you came in and they'd had three children, and the fourth one was Simon, and that's when you began to know them, that would be Simon's mum. So it's all quite complicated.
It's complicated.
But when you actually go to them, what's your name? Or even to Paul and Jonah, who go around these guys all the time, they go, we don't know. We don't know their name, because they're just known as their children's name. Or for like when you reach a certain age, you're Shosho. And that's it. That's your identity, isn't it?
Yeah. So Shosho came in and sat for the 3 days that we were with them.
Which is a grandmother, by the way.
Yeah, it's grandma, basically. It means grandmother. With a face like flint and didn't really interact with us. We were like on tender hooks, because we know that if she leaves, then a lot of people are going to go with her. And on the last day, she stood up and she said, I love these guys, and that you are all to listen to them and take note. I'm feeling goosebumpy even just saying it. And take note of what they're saying, because everything that they're saying is good and it will help you, and you will have better lives, and you need to go out and tell everybody, and because I'm going home and I'm going to tell everybody. And she especially liked the talk where we talked about reconciliation and forgiveness. So, and she cracked a smile, mm-hmm. and she gave us a hug, and then she went back to straight face mode, didn't she? But for us, you're wanting to go, yes, it's like a dance around.
Just to move it on, but put it in context, the fighting that goes on between these villages, if the likes of this show, which she was going to, tells all the young folk in her village, you don't do it, they don't do it. It stops, just like that. That's how big these things are.
If she goes back and says, you stop, you don't go and steal their chickens or terrorise them or whatever, she's going to go back and say, it stops. And it stops. So it's huge, it's massive. And next time we go out there, they're going to invite more people from, and the word will have spread. So,
and you could see the reconciliation between the tribes happening in front of your
us.
Eyes.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we better move on.
It was awesome.
It's me with a few ladies.
Yeah. This is Esther, who's the little fireball, looking very adoringly up at my husband. We nearly lost Toby last year because they were around him like flies. So then we always ask them at the end. I know we're talking a lot about Dagara, but this goes for all three places that we went to, that they do their own action planning. What are you going to do to implement what you've learnt, what you know, and everything? And in Dagara, the women decided that they were going to start a women's group, because they were going to teach each other and other people in the communities how to make the reusable sanitary towels. We left patterns, scissors, thread,
kits,
needles.
We left
the whole kit and caboodle of everything for them to start off making their own. And in Dagara, we were quite blessed because they decided that the women's group in Dagara was going to be called Dagara Potter's Heart Group, which is amazing. And these people don't have communities apart from church. They don't come together. And the men never come together. And the men were going to start a group, weren't they?
They were.
And everything.
We'll be able to report on that next time we come.
Like, next time we go out there, we would like to take to Dagara moringa trees. Have I ever told you about moringa trees?
We don't need to go into that now, but we will.
Yeah, moringa trees are one of the highest, have the highest value of vitamin C of anything, basically, on this planet. And if we can take out moringa tree bushes to give to them in the villages, every part of it, the leaves, the seeds, the flowers, can be eaten, dried, or made like tea, or put in your soups and everything.
Yeah, as a step of faith on our part, and this is part of Kenya when you find you're there, or maybe any mission when you're out, is you find yourself being led and saying stuff. And as a charity, we're committed to taking moringa trees and T-shirts and a few other things out to these places already, so which we've got to obviously source and finance and everything else, but we believe it's the right thing to do, so...
So at the end of the teaching and training, they each get certificates. They hold these certificates in very high regard because they will take them along to job applications, job interviews. I mean, they do a lot out there where you stand on the street and a van pulls up and says, I want six people, and, you know, and they're waving their certificates. Look, look. And it helps them a lot, doesn't it? So that's that. You can go on to that.
There's one for the boys. Well, I'll say the boys. That's very gender specific of me, isn't it? But that's just that's scaffolding, Kenyan style. So, puts our health and safety into context, doesn't it, really?
But there is no health and
safety.
There
is no health and safety.
So the next place we went to was Key and Joya.
Oh, there's one for Dom, look.
Yay.
This is Key and Joya. This is John, who was with us. You've seen John, Lyndon's husband. And he was quite concerned here because it would appear that most of the church isn't earthed, I don't think. So that's
this
a three
is a pin. Three pins And they that just, you would put, they normally just, put
they
your
just
plug
stick
in.
The wires, and that's running all the PA and the lights and other stuff that they have. And they love their speakers. They're about this big. And they always keep one inside. They never do it on a Sunday. They keep one inside, and the others are all outside, so that the whole community can hear what's.
Yeah.
You go down the street, and it's just banging.
Key and Joy was definitely loud is best, and shouting and screaming is even better. So the worship was a bit screamy, wasn't it?
It was interesting.
We went there for a Sunday service, and because we're there out of respect, like. Each community has to go up the front and do something, and each age group has to go up and do something. Well, it was about four or five hours long, wasn't it? We were like wasting away.
Yeah, and then we had to go up and sing.
So, yes.
That was really bad.
That was the worst bit. We're going to go.
Because we didn't have a Toby. We had no one with any instruments.
So this is all the different age groups. This was one of them. So, yeah, get on to the. That's the teenagers.
We jumped to afterwards there.
That's all right. They have a keyboard in Key and Joy, and they're very proud of their keyboard, but nobody knows how to play it.
Well, it does sort of.
Apart from going...
I've got another photo of that, but I didn't...
Wasn't it? Like every time somebody said anything, you know, instead of going hallelujah or praise the Lord, they go down this piano. And they knew that you could get all the... sound effects on it, so they would play a lot of them. And basically, so my plan is that when we go out next time, that somebody might donate to us how to learn to play the keyboard, so that we can take it out.
I thought you were going to say ear defenders.
Ear defenders, no. So that they can learn, because they're trying to teach themselves, but it was hard work. In Key and Joy, we did lie busting.
We did.
But we did corporate lie busting over the whole community. And it was amazing. Key and Joy community took hold of it, grabbed it, saw it, understood it, and participated in it. And so many things were prayed off of them. So many things were prayed over them that at the end of it, they were all saying, next time you come, can I have one-on-one lie busting, wasn't it? And it just broke something in the spirit there to do with, well, I haven't got my notes, but, all the usual things, generational curses, because that's a big thing out there. You've got witch doctors out there. So things like curses and generational things and wasn't it? So that was just an amazing, amazing time. And it was just amazing that they got it, wasn't it? One of the biggest things out there is that communication. So people don't communicate, do they?
No. They might have a phone, but they don't communicate.
And parents find it really difficult to communicate with their children. So a lot of the teaching is about the benefit of communication.
It's relationship.
Everything. And relationship.
There was a huge amount on this trip in every single church that we went to.
Key and Joy was a blessing because there were so many teenagers, and they're a big sector of community that you want to reach, because they're the next generation that when they start having children, that you want them to be doing things in different ways, don't you? And one of the young lads here, we were talking about STIs here, which was a huge subject. And he, like this, he goes, we get taught about this at school. We know this. So we said to him, yeah, but do they teach you about relationships in school? No. Do they teach you about what God's best for you is in school? No. So he sat there very graciously and he listened to the whole teaching and then afterwards said, no, your teaching is much better. And when they asked questions, I'm not going to tell you what's on, because there were some very interesting questions, because you begin to find out that what they do in the school is that they actually use scaremongering with old wives' tales about things like sexual relationships and sexually transmitted diseases and relationships, that they do it on the basis that it might scare them to not do it, isn't it?
Yeah, but that doesn't work.
And that doesn't work. So anyway, we had amazing times with these teenagers. They're all wearing some of the 154 knitted woolen hats that we took out there, and every single one of them went. They ended up, Kian Joyer is starting a ladies group, a men's group and a youth group.
That's Jonah and his two, that's one of our translators there, Jonah, one of the pastors.
With his two daughters. Because
I don't know if I've got these out of sync a little bit. If you can flick on, there's a few more hats, There's John with some of the boys.
Sorry, sideways.
I thought it was quite funny, but Jackie didn't appreciate the fact that when I tipped all these hats outside, there was a mass bundle for everyone to get a hat.
I nearly got knocked off my feet.
And a few more. But I don't know whether it's in here, but there was... there's one there, slightly out of sync. But the dynamic at this church was slightly different in that they only actually had four ladies. Usually there's more ladies than blokes. Or we tried to get it equal. But on this group, as you can see, there was quite a few gents of different ages. Now, when Jackie talks about the youth, you look at some of these here, and it's really deceiving. They look really young. And then you say how old you are, and you find out that they're in their early 20s or something. It's really quite...
Well, generally,
they look like they're 12, do you know what I mean?
Generally, you say to them, how old are you? And they go, I'm about 20. Because they don't have birthdays, they don't know what year they were born. There's no record keeping. They don't have to register the births and everything. So it's always a bit kind of random. I think I'd get to about 30 and I'd go, I think I'm about 30. Stop there, really, isn't it?
their tradition over there when it comes to dying, and we talk about Jonah, who's sitting here, I pointed out before, you just get buried on your homestead. So he's got two or three generations there. They do have cemeteries and stuff, but mostly you just dig a hole and bury them at home.
Well, they would class that as a huge privilege to be able to bury your parents on your land is a huge privilege.
And then they invite people along, and everyone who comes along pays for the funeral.
Yeah, you're invited to the funeral, and then the hat goes round to help pay for it.
That's just to prove that it rains.
Oh dear!
That was when we were at Kian Joyer. It is at 90 degrees, and we probably can't flick it around, but we had to move the bus on a couple of days up to the end of the lane because we wouldn't have got out otherwise, and then walk up to it before we went. So. That's all right.
So this is Kian Joyer, which is a little tiny mud hut, tin roof. So when it rained, it was like you had to shout a lot. But like John said, there's Lyndon there holding up notes. They keep all of those notes. It was quite male-dominated. We had three Marys and a Lucy.
Marys and
Marys. Three Marys. Yeah, love a Mary.
Yeah, because there's a few in Kian Joyer, I think, of a similar nature. They all give up. Oh, we split them into groups when they're doing their teaching. So we had because there was a lot of guys, we did a youth group and a senior group, and the ladies did one, and then they all have to, at the end of that, as Jackie says, write down an action plan about what they're going to do and not do, and that's part of what you're seeing in the teaching and what they're going to say and do.
That's a Mary. That's them with their certificates. So one of the things that you begin to realise when you're out there is that we start at 9 and we end at 3. And you sort of think, 3 o'clock, we could go on another couple of hours. Except what you then realise is that by the time they've got there at 9, they will have done a couple of hours in the field before in the hut or with their children or whatever before they come to the training. And when they leave at 3 o'clock, they go back to their settlement and they'll do a few more hours because they've got stock to water, they've got
meals to make,
they've got plants to tend and everything. So for them, it's an even longer day.
Yeah, and you would have seen, going back to the ones in Tagara, when you look around across, it's all flat and all just open, and these people just walk into the middle of nowhere, and it might take them an hour or so or more to get home.
This is now we've gone into Mitimingi, and the big guy up there, you can point him out, that's Pastor Paul. The problem is so many things that we could talk about. There's so much.
This is where all the babies were that you saw me with as well.
Yeah. The kind of ethos over there is that the more babies you have, it's like your pension plan, children, your pension plan. So that when you grow old, you've got plenty of children to look after you, because there's no welfare state, there's no pension, there's no, you know, nothing like that. So, but what they're beginning to realise now is that instead of having 6, 8, 10 children, that it'd be better if they reduced it down to 4 and had 4 healthy children, because they always work on the basis that 2 of them are probably going to die, which they probably are, you know, when they get ill health. So some of the teaching was talking about what would it look like in your house if you only had 4 children to feed and educate and clothe and everything, rather than 6, 8, 10. We came across one young girl who was one of 15, wasn't she?
Well, but we had a few in the men's group that we were at in Key and Joy just before there. The first one, Degara, there was only about 6 guys there, and I think I've told some of you this. We went round the group, and I think there was over 100 children between us, because they still think it's okay to have more than one wife. So there was one there that had 22 kids, but he did have 2 wives. So
a lot of them out there think that the worst thing that can happen if you have sex before marriage is that the girl gets pregnant. So actually, a lot of teaching is about STIs, all that sort of thing, because out there it's difficult. If you get an STI out there, you've got to go to a clinic and you've probably got to pay for it, haven't you? One of the sad parts in... that's all the teaching, isn't it? Mitimingi was hard work.
Yeah, it was very hard.
There's something.
This is the region or the town, because it's quite big, in the sense that there's about 60 odd thousand people in Mitimingi, but you can't see hardly any of them. They have a main street that's about half a dozen little shops and wooden shacks. Lizzie will know what they call shops and stuff. But everyone is just hugely spread out. It's over a huge, huge area, isn't it? So,
Mitimingi, we also did some lie busting, but again over the delegates, which wasn't as responsive, but it did break some of that hanging back attitude that was kind of going on there.
Yeah, it's also the hometown for Paul and Jonah, which we think has something to do with it.
It was quite interesting. So when we were talking about family planning out there, that we found out that the local clinic, their blood pressure machine has broken, and that they've asked for a replacement, but it hasn't come yet, and that the nurses there are rushed off their feet and a bit overwhelmed. So one of our hopes is that next time we go there, we can visit the nurses in their clinic and talk to them about how can we help, what can we do. Can we take some blood pressure machines out? Can we give them some teaching as well that might help? And there's also talk about visiting a local women's refuge so that we can teach them as well. This is Tall Paul over here, because we have Pastor Paul and Tall Paul. He's not called that because he's short. He invited us to his house, which is a huge honour and a privilege. And they cooked for us, cooked a meal, didn't they? And he, again, lives in like a mud hut with a mud floor. And they cooked us a lovely meal. And were very keen for us to note that in part of their teaching on hygiene, that they had taken note that you should put covers over the top of the food, which is one of those basic teachings of don't allow flies to rest on your food. It's so basic, but it saves lives. So this is Tall Paul receiving one of John's suits. He was absolutely over the moon. He is a pastor, and he goes around and likes to look the part, doesn't he?
They love to look the part. They really do.
That was his. That's his wife, Lucy.
With Lyndon.
Some of the children.
Well, they just turn up out of nowhere. We were at their house, and they just turn up. And
they see the van coming, and then
So these are some of the jumpers, I think, from the school, and even ones that we might have taken over last year, and various hats turning up that we'd given out. This was the day or the weeks before, and all the hats kept appearing in different places we went.
All right, you can talk.
Well, one of the things out there, this is just a bit of a different cultural experience, which the ladies loved. one of the hotels we stayed at is run by a guy called William, who's a lovely fellow, and he very kindly wanted to take us out to lunch. So we went to a local hotspot for lunch, and this is it. Now, this is, just to try and put it in context, but not take too much time, this is like going over to Chichester, where PC World and stuff is. You know where you go through the gate? Well, these gates are kept shut, and they have guards on, and they open them to let you in. So with guns. So it's actually held in quite high esteem. This is one of the nicer establishments. So he took us there, and the ladies' faces were just.
I nearly died.
What happened? And I was going to briefly touch on this later, but I don't know if we'll have time. But it's amazing how many ladies turn vegetarian when they go to Kenya.
Yeah.
Right. And then John also, you saw earlier on, Lyndon's husband, he'd also been on a huge diet, so he wasn't eating. So Muggins here had to make up for everyone else. But so you go there and you order a leg of whatever animal it is. There's William. So we were told it was various things. It went from goat to sheep to pork to whatever. And then that's the door of the kitchen, just to give you an idea, if you could look that way around. They didn't like me taking a picture of that, because obviously they're worried about us sending it off to health and safety and other things. Oh, we've skipped on. So, but anyway, we've got lots of other pictures. But where we sat at this long table upstairs, it was like, the ladies couldn't get any further away from the food if they'd tried. Anyway, we ate it all, but it was a real Kenyan Kenyan experience. But you just have to jump in sometimes. Don't you?
Yeah, do you want to go on?
Do you want me to do it about this then? What have you got in your notes? Yeah, I know. I knew this was happening with Jackie. We're taught. This is just run through these pictures. Then this is as far as the building. There's a bit more scaffolding and stuff. This is the building on the land. This is the house that we talked about on the Potter's Heart land. This is the electric pylon just up the road. This for Dom. It's the shimmering diamonds in the ground, which were, they weren't diamonds, but it looked, the whole ground was sparkly everywhere we went. And it just shone everywhere, didn't it? It was just amazing. Everywhere we walked, everywhere there was. That's just to prove that it was very, very green. They're pink flamingos. In the end, you can skip through the next couple, just to prove that it rained. But it is beautiful out there as well. View from the hotel. Yeah. And that's the team that went this time. So it was a totally different dynamic. We'll just leave it on that one. It's the last one, Amy. Thank you. Totally different dynamic because there weren't so many of us. But just to touch briefly, time-wise, that it became very clear while we were out there, and we spent a bit of time with Paul and Jonah and some of the other guys as well, that although the... And you can come and speak to us about this individually later because we haven't got a lot of time. Although the vision stands of where we were, because it's Africa, things constantly change. So we went out there with certain expectations of stages of work, like you saw on there, things that have been done, and they haven't. And to say that they're sometimes economical with the truth is probably a little bit of an understatement. But just to say where we are at the minute is that the extra drilling for the water hasn't actually happened yet. The price of that went up by at least three times what it was. And for the electrics that we were running there, that's apparently gone up fivefold from when we were there. So we're talking mega, mega bucks. So the vision's still there for that. But what became apparent when we were discussing with the guys there is the importance of what is needed now. So although that hasn't changed, the priorities have changed. So that's carrying on. We're still raising funds for that. They're still raising funds so that water and electric can be done. But so that we can try and do that reasonably, that is being handled on the Kenyan side now. So it is a Kenyan price over here with how they treat their own and not how they treat a Western price. So effectively, we are in it and helping them, but we've actually handed that back to the community now because we believe they get a better deal and that's the quickest way for that to be achieved. They're also using the land for crops and other stuff at the minute. So this is part of what came out is the importance of today. Now, we have a big vision in Potter's Heart for not just the land and training centres and other places, but we have to be real about what we can do today as well. And what we're being called to do today, which was in agreement with the others in the team, the other trustees, the guys on the ground out there, the important thing through all of this is reaching the people. And as we've briefly touched on, the real blessing to us was it does make a difference, because you always worry about, we spend all this money, we do these things, does it make a difference? But it does make a difference. It does change lives. So of the 46 districts which are out there, I think we've only been to 3 or 4. And it is very much on their heart, the guys out there, that we get around as many as we can. So the emphasis at the moment is on the trips. So the water, the land, the electrics, that is all going on in the background. But the key thing at the moment is to get the word, get the message, get the training, get the influence, pass that baton on. And that is what they wanted, so that is what we are doing. So our key thing is to try and raise the funds and everything that we need so that we can go out there twice a year and carry on that work that we've started and also move into other regions and other places.
I was just saying that Paul and Jonah were trying, you know, putting across how great a need there is and asked if we could go over 4 or 5 times a year. The need is so great, is what they asked, yeah. And we're like...
And also their total lack of understanding about how much these things cost. But I will finish now, because we've taken up loads of time, but I do just want to just touch on the fact that it is making a difference, but there is a difference in culture, there's a difference in understanding, there's a difference in expectations over here and what there is over there. When I say a difference in vision, it's that interpretation of what vision is and what they would like to see happen and what we think is going to happen, even though we're talking about the same thing, because so often we believe we're talking about the same thing, but it's perceived in a slightly different way. We perceive it in a different way than they do. And just to what I'm not going to speak on now, but what God did lay on my heart was the story of Jonah, which, if you're like me, is a lovely book, because it's only 2 pages long, and that's 4 chapters. It's just the sort of book I like. But it was a challenge about the journey, and here it is, because it's about taking the message. And that's what we believe we've been called to do, and we've all been called to do it. And so my challenge was going to be to us, because we're in this journey, ongoing journey, and to you guys today, is where are you on that journey? And if you put that in the context of Jonah, if you know the story, that's fine, you'll go through it. If you don't, read it, it won't take you long. But there's various places along that journey that you need to see where you're at. And if you don't know where you're at or where you're heading, then you need to go back to the last place where you did know. So, you know, have you been asked to do something? Have you not done it? Are you running away? Are you not running away? Do you need to be thrown overboard? Do you need to hear from God again? You deliver the word. You might be in an angry place. There's all those bits along that journey, but it isn't about us in that sense. It's about the word for the people. We might have some differences of opinion amongst ourselves. We might have some differences of opinion about our expectations between the guys on the ground over there and what we have here. We had huge frustrations with what had and hadn't been done and what we were asked to be and paid for and not paid for. But at the end of the day, it's about the people, and it's about bringing the word of life to them. And that's all in kingdom principles in that sense, as Jackie talked about earlier. So that's the key bit that we need to concentrate on, and we will be as a charity, is getting that word across. But I also wanted to challenge you guys as well, as you might want to be part of that, you might not want to be part of that, but we're all on a journey together. So somewhere in Jonah's story, that's where you are. And we never reach the end of that. So in that sense, I just want to, in a nice way, I know you've been sitting down a long time, so do you want to stand up? We'll just pray and finish. And the guys will, I'm sure, team will come up and do a song. Apologies for going on so long. But Father, I just want to thank you that you do have a perfect plan, Father. I want to thank you that each and every person here makes a difference, Father. I want to thank you that we make a difference because of who we are in you, because we choose to be obedient. And may we choose to be obedient today, Father. I just pray that you'd speak to each one of us, wherever we are on the journey that we're on, Father. I pray that you just take us another step further today. Next week, Father, we want to see more of a difference. We want to see more of your kingdom come, Father. And Father, we want more of you in our hearts and less of us, Father, because it's our doubt and our disobedience that slow all these things up. So, Father, I want to thank you that your heart is, whether we deserve it or not, Father God, is good towards us, Father. I thank you that you have a good ending to the story as well, Father. So I pray you fill us with boldness, Father. You pour out your provision from heaven, Father God, but we'd pour out the resources that we have, that you've given us already as well, Father God, that we, as we work in unity and alongside you. So, Father, I just want to speak a blessing over my brothers and sisters here, Father, as Jackie said at the beginning. Father, we just want to thank you for their generosity, for their heart. And, Father, I want to thank you that it is only the beginning of this part of the journey for Jackie and I, and hopefully for you guys with us together, as we just move on to take more and more ground and speak out more and more life for the kingdom, in Jesus' name. Amen.